The book of Revelation is all about the person of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in the future as the world as we know it comes to an end. And a guy named John is the one who is writing this stuff down. John was on an island called Patmos, and God came and pulled him up into the heavens. And he said, write down what you see and what you hear so that when it gets to the end, you will know when the end times are here. He's saying there's going to be mass numbers of problems. There's going to be a wickedness among people unlike we've ever seen. You're going to see global terrorists. You're going to see global economic problems. You're going to see major problems rising out from the sea of people from every area of the world, and they will be looking for a leader. I mean, imagine if there was someone today that stepped on the scene that could have the solution to cancer, that could stop all the division between political parties. One day, there will be a man that will bring temporary world peace just as I've described. His outward appearance is going to be charming. He's going to be mesmerizing. He's going to be good looking. He's going to be an excellent speaker. I mean, wouldn't that be a person that would be praised by the entire world? The Bible teaches us when the beast comes, he will possess all the powers of Satan. And his heart is unimaginably wicked. He's charming, but his heart, his mind, his soul is Satan himself. He's what's called the Antichrist. He's a counterfeit. Everything God has, Satan counterfeits. We act as if we have all the time in the world. We don't. For the believer, share the gospel with urgency before it's too late. You don't want people living in the days that we're describing. You don't want people going to hell without Jesus. So it's our job, the church's job, to spread the gospel with urgency. Now, if you are an unbeliever today, I'm begging you with everything in me, come to Jesus today. People think they got to change before they come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and he'll change you. We've been walking verse by verse of the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 13, and what we've learned, I'm just going to give you kind of a real quick recap in case you're here for the first time. We've learned that the guy named John wrote it, and John wrote this book, and John was a friend of Jesus, one of the best friends of Jesus. John saw Jesus die. John saw Jesus resurrect. John is telling the world the Messiah has come, and he is alive and well, and the people didn't like it. Church history tells us that they boiled him alive. And he didn't die. Now, this would creep some people out, right? And so they sent him to the island of... Okay, you guys were listening. You do remember. They sent him to an island of Patmos, which is the salt mines, which is where they would send criminals and slaves. And they tried to shut John up. But how many of you know that you can't stop the word of God? You can't stop it. It says, heaven and earth may fade, but my word will not. And so God came to him and brought him up into the heavenlies and said, write down the things that you see and hear. And what he's doing now is he's telling us these are the things that are going to happen in the end times. And this book is different than any other book that you'll read in the Bible, because every other book in the Bible you're reading and you're looking back. This is a book that we are living in and we are looking forward, and it tells us ahead. And I am convinced that we are living in the last days, and I'm convinced that we are standing on the edge of the rapture. Literally last night when I was speaking about it, I said, keep your eyes on Israel. I said, if Israel gets attacked by Iran and Russia in any way gets involved, this is what's called the Ezekiel 38 war, and many theologians believe that we are raptured before the Ezekiel 38 war. I walk downstairs and look at my phone up, it's kind of blown up, but did you see what happened with Israel? They've been attacked by Iran. You know who bought the drones for Iran? Does anyone know? Russia. And so we look at this. How close are we? We are literally standing on the edge of the rapture. There's no signs that need to be fulfilled, no prophecies. They're all done. That's why I've been saying from this entire beginning of this series, do not get wrapped up in the horns and the bowls and all kind of stuff. Here is our assignment for the believers to share the gospel with urgency. There's people in your life, there's people that work for you, there's people that are friends or family members, they don't know Christ. You're running out of time. We've got the football and we're on the 5-yard line and there's no more timeouts. We must share the gospel. If you're here and you're saying, I'm uncertain about what I believe, I want to tell you about a God that loves you. I want to tell you about that it is proven that he is Lord, he and he alone. And I'm going to say this, for the unbeliever, you better come to Christ before it's too late. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this because I love you, but the end of the world is coming quickly. It's coming quickly. He says the Lord will come back like the twinkling in an eye. And so we've covered some pretty big stuff. We covered the rapture of the church. If you're new, the rapture of the church, what he's going to do is God, before he pours out his judgment on a world that has rejected him, and we're seeing that over and over, Hollywood rejecting, we're seeing them mock Jesus, we're seeing them mock Christianity, we're seeing them dress up as devils, and we're seeing witchcraft, we're seeing all that stuff. Jesus is going to judge that stuff, okay? He's going to judge it, but he's going to move his church out of the way first. Now, that does not mean his church as in people that just attend church. It means followers of Jesus. There's a difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, we're going to be raptured, pulled out of the way before he judges the earth. Billions of people are going to be pulled out of the way, and the world without Jesus is going to try to they're going to try to understand this and not be able to describe what happened. Perhaps they think alien abduction or this or that. I don't know how they're going to describe it. But where we left off was we talked about the central figure in the end times, the Antichrist. And if you want to go back like a Netflix binge, you can go back on our app and you can binge and catch yourself up if you've missed, because you've missed a lot of content. We're in chapter 13 if you have your Bible. If you don't, we're going to have everything on the screen. And we talked about the Antichrist. And people are now going to believe that he is God. Because, well, the church is gone. You and I are gone. And the Holy Spirit lives within us, and people are going to be gullible to this stuff. And he's going to solve problems. Now, you have to have problems before you have world peace. How many of you agree that this is the most problematic world that we've ever seen? There's problems everywhere. There's wars, rumors of wars. So what the Antichrist does is he comes in and solves the majority of these problems. And here's where we pick up today is verse 11. It says, then, and this is John in heaven, and he's looking. He says, then I saw another beast. Hold on. He's already described that the Antichrist is a beast. He says, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. Now, you remember the Antichrist came out of the sea. He said, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Every word in the Word of God is there for a reason. It says then. Why does he say then? Because he's saying the Antichrist has already solved most of the problems. Then another beast appears. Who is this beast? He's called the false prophet. The false prophet. Now the false prophet comes in, and I want you to notice something else. I want you to go back to verse 11. He says, then I saw another. This word another is in the Greek. It means one just like. It means one like in kind. It means like if you said, Pastor Brent, I like your watch. I said, oh, you like it? You can have it because I have one just like it. Same band, same everything. Here you go. So he's saying the Antichrist and the false prophet are just alike. They're empowered by Satan himself. They're Satan's tools, okay? So the false prophet comes upon the earth. And I want to throw back up verse 11. We're going to hang out on verse 11 for a while today. He said this, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. Now, you remember what I just said? The first beast, the Antichrist, came out of the sea. He says, this beast comes out of the earth, which means he's a human being already on the earth. We got to talking the other night with a couple of people, and they said, hey, what are you talking about this weekend? I said, the false prophet. They don't come to church. I said, you ought to come to church and listen to it. They said, ah, you know me, I don't come to church. I said, well, maybe you will. He said, it sounds interesting. He said, well, just tell me a few things that the false prophet will be like. And I told him a little bit of what you're going to hear today. And his eyes got this big, and he said, wow, that could be this person, or this person, this person. I said, exactly. I said, the Antichrist could be very well already alive and well, or the false prophet could already be alive and well, and he could be on the scenes being vetted for this moment. So it's very, very true that he could already be here. He could already be ready, just waiting in the wings, okay? So look what it says he's like. It says the false prophet will be like this. If you'll go back to verse 11, it says he'll have horns like a lamb. Horns like a lamb. Now, a lamb doesn't scare anyone, okay? A bear. A bear would scare me. If a bear came running after you, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing? Come on, somebody, what are you going to do? Okay, I heard a lot of answers there. You guys are an interesting group. I heard run. I just heard the word wrestle, believe it or not. That's a tough man. He's going to wrestle a bear. I'm a wee little man. Okay, more likely I'm going to have my Second Amendment on me. I'm going to shoot and run. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a tree. I'm a small man. I'm like Zacchaeus, a wee little man he was. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. And y'all went to Sunday school? That's me. But if you see a lamb, you're not going to run from a lamb. What are you going to want to do? You're going to want to approach it. You want to say, hey, you mind if I pet this lamb? A lamb is meek. A lamb is approachable. A lamb, it doesn't threaten you. And it says he's like a lamb. That means he's going to be approachable. This false prophet is going to be so nice. You ever met somebody who's just so nice? We got a minister here, Brother Gene Boyd. Some of you know him. He's worked here at the church forever. He's just so nice. Like, if you ever want to look at the fruit of the Spirit, if you ever want to see what the fruit of the Spirit look like in person, Gene Boyd. Gene Boyd don't get angry. He don't get mad. I'm convinced. I could trip Gene Boyd. I could cut his brake lines. I could pop his tires. And he's going, brother, I just hate that happened. I won't tell you I love you. That's just how it is, you know? This person's going to be like that. They're going to be like a Mother Teresa, a Billy Graham, a Ruth Graham, where people just say they're so likable. Like, I just like them. How can you not like them? It says it comes like a lamb. And so people are going to flock to him because he is so kind. And guess what? These horns that we talk about, horns in the Bible represent power and authority. Now, he's going to hold power and authority in the religious world. The Antichrist is going to solve all the other problems. But he, like the economic problem, he's going to solve and be a religious leader. That's why many people for years have thought, well, is it going to be the Pope of that day? Or is it going to be this? We don't know. But what we do know is he's going to be a religious leader that everybody likes. Now, he's also going to do something that is just, this blows my mind. He's going to bring all the world religions and unite them into one. That blows my mind because as a pastor, I can't even get Baptists to get along. You know what I mean? And then you're gonna get Mormons, Baptists, Jews, Muslims together. But I got to think, I'm like, you know, it's not that far-fetched because religion without the Holy Spirit is false. And, you know, the Holy Spirit lives within us. We will be raptured up. You see what I mean? And so these people, what he will do is he will say, let's get rid of all the divisiveness in each religion. You know, you guys kind of stand hard on this, and you stand hard on this, and you stand. Let's get rid of all the divisiveness in there, and let's bring it together in one deal. And here's the deal. Here's how it'll work. Since we are gone, who's the true believers? Religious people will go, but that makes sense. See, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the truth. And they go, you know, we are kind of divisive on this issue, and we are kind of loud on this issue, and that makes sense. And this guy, you know, everybody likes this guy. He seems to be right. You ever respected someone so much where you go, you know what, I didn't really, you know, think that, but you know so-and-so on the news said that. And it kind of gives it that validity. That's how this religious leader will be so respected. You just go, hey, you know, so-and-so said that. And he'll bring together all of them. And I know what some of you just heard Baptist, but Baptist, what do you mean? You know, I thought all the Baptists are gone. Nope. Do you know that everybody that sits in a church pew is not saved? You can be lost and go to hell in a concert seat or a church seat. Billy Graham once said it this way. He said, I believe that 60% of the people who go to church don't know Jesus. They know religion. And that's why it's very important that you know Jesus, not just religion. And in the South, this is a big deal because we get gospel hardened is what it's called. We live in the Bible Belt. We live in an era in the South where we hear so much about Jesus that we don't know Jesus, but we just know not a lot of Jesus, don't we? And you say, hey, how long have you been saved? Oh, I've always been saved. Think about how dumb that is. How long have you been born? Oh, I've always been born. How long have you been married? Oh, I've always been married. How long have you had that car? I've always had that car. No, there's got to be a day and time in your life where you realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is Lord, and He draws you, His Holy Spirit draws you, and you say, yes, I surrender. If not, friends, you have religion, you don't have Jesus. And I want to tell you, we are standing on the edge of the rapture. Come to Jesus before it's too late. But this guy's going to bring everybody together, and we're already seeing this start to happen right now. You say, well, how can he bring all these religions together? You know, we're seeing a world, I want to teach you this, especially young people, pluralism. It's running rampant right now. Here's what pluralism is. It's the idea that we are all going to the same place so we can have different gods to get us there. And it sounds great on the outside. How many of you have heard this? You've had friends. I have friends that say this. They say, oh, I'm a person of faith too. Have you had that? I'm a person of faith too. Faith doesn't mean, in the Southern term, diddly squat. It's the object of your faith. Faith, it don't matter. Big faith, small faith, listen to me, don't matter. It's not the size of your faith. It is the person, the object of your faith. You got little faith in Jesus, it can do big things. You got a lot of faith in Allah, it can do nothing. I'm just saying, we're living in a day where they say, all roads, as long as you got a faith, all roads lead to heaven. This isn't me trying to GPS you to Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, you go to Atlanta, you can take 27, you can take I-85, you can take all different kind of routes. We're talking about eternity. And Jesus clearly says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Notice he didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. So I want to tell you and be very clear. Pluralism is a lie from the pit of hell. It all won't get you there. There's one way is what he says. And that is offensive. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very offensive. He says, I am the way. There's no other way. That's offensive. It might hurt your feelings, but it'll heal your soul. There's no other way to God the Father but Jesus. That means there's a difference between Buddha and Allah, Muhammad. They are not God. Jesus is Lord. That's the truth of the matter. I'll prove it to you. Hundreds of prophecies told beforehand, some of them 700 years beforehand, some of them 1,000 years beforehand, predicted how the Messiah would come. Jesus fulfilled every single one. None of the other gods did. I'm just saying. They said, this is going to be God when he's going to come. He's going to do all these things. Jesus did them. Allah did not. Buddha did not. Muhammad did not. Then he did something. He lived a sinless life. They did not. Then he did something. He went to a cross that he predicted I would, here's how I'd die. Here's how I'd be born. Here's how I'd rise from the dead. And he pulled it off. None of them didn't do that. Then when he walked out of the grave, he defeated death, hell. And when he walked out of the grave, we walked out of the grave too. Nobody else did that. And so my point is, do not buy into this issue of pluralism. It may not feel good, but it's not right. And we live in a world where we don't want to offend. And we're letting this deal of being passive take over in America. We're being passive about who we stand for. Passive about, and we should be standing and we're sitting, and we're being passive about, and we're lowering our standards for living for God, and we're passive about being vocal about who the one true God is, and we're losing freedoms that our military bled and died and fought for, and we're not going to be able to get them back unless some Christians stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong. Why is it that everyone else can speak up, but we can't? Speak up. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible tells us this. It says, choose today whom you'll serve. He don't say tomorrow. He don't say next month. Elijah walked on the scene, and there was the prophets of Baal, and he walked on there. What a man. I love when you see a man, a man's man. He walked right over there and says, choose today who you'll serve. Which one you say? In front of 400 prophets that could have killed him. See, here's what I know. I'd rather be right with God than wrong with the crowd. My dad's always told me this way. He said, I'd rather walk in truth and be alone than walk in a crowd and be in error. That's just the way it's got to be. And we got to know that this guy's going to come in and he's going to do this and he's going to bring people together and it's going to get tough. We're going to have to really dig our feet in and say, hey, right now we've got to let the people know who we stand for. It might save someone's life that's going to live through this. Okay? And so then verse 11 says something. It says, then I saw, and we're still on verse 11. I love just peeling it back like a squeeze it as much as you can, like a lemon. It says, then I saw another beast come out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Now watch this. And he spoke like a dragon. Hold on now. He was a lamb. But he spoke like a dragon. You know why? Because the real you always comes out. it came out. How many of you know there's some people that walked out of your life, some people that betrayed you, some people that wronged you? You can give lip service all you want, but the real you always comes out. And so eventually, the real him comes out, and he's not some passive, weak guy. The real him comes out, and it says that when he came out, he spoke like a dragon. Now, who's the dragon? The devil. Now, do you know why he spoke like the devil? Because the devil himself gives him every word to say. And I want you to listen to me online. If you're watching this and it is no longer 2024 and you're living through this and you've had friends that invited you to church and you didn't come and you had friends that told you about the gospel and you had friends that gave you gospel tracts, you are living, and they're all gone, you are living in a world where we have been raptured. You need to listen to this. He's a liar. The father of lies is Satan himself, and every word he says is coming from Satan. You need to dial in. You need to listen. Your eternal life depends on this today, okay? His real agenda will be found out. Here's what happens. Look at verse 12. And he exercises all authority of the first beast, which is the Antichrist, in his presence, and causes the earth and who dwell on it to worship the first beast. So now we see his agenda. The Antichrist's entire agenda is to be the spokesman, the spiritual endorser of the Antichrist, false prophet. The false prophet's entire agenda is to be the spokesperson of the Antichrist. Okay? That's his job. He's going to come along and say, guys, once he brings everybody together, he's the Messiah. I mean, you saw him. Remember, he does a fake resurrection, the Antichrist does. Why did he do a fake resurrection? He does a fake resurrection because the devil's always wanted to be worshipped. So what brought the most worship to Jesus Christ? The resurrection. So he does a fake. Notice the verse over there. It says he was wounded with the sword. Interesting. So he does a fake resurrection, and now the false prophet comes along and says, hey, the reason he could do that is he's God. All right. You trust me. I've built up, you know, enough trust with you. He's God. He's going to tell the Jews that are remaining, hey, the Jews, you had it right the whole time. You've waited and waited for the Messiah, and here he is. This is the Messiah. You had it right the whole time. But really, he is the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. Now, here's what's going to happen here. He's going to bring worship there. And a lot of the world will believe him because they are without the Holy Spirit. Like we have the Holy Spirit. We've been lifted up. And now they're buying into this. How are they buying into it, though? Well, he tells us they're buying into it because of the great supernatural signs that are going to happen. I'll show you this. Verse 13 says this, and he will perform great signs. He will even make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. You're going to see some stuff that David Blaine can't pull off. Is that his name? David Blaine, that musician. Whatever happened to him? Did he disappear? He made himself disappear. He was really popular at one time. They're going to see some stuff that ain't nobody ever done. And they're going to go, okay, this has got to be. This has got to be God. Now, he's empowered by Satan to do this supernatural stuff. But again, Satan is a copycat. Everything that God creates, the devil counterfeits. I always say it this way. God is an innovator. The devil is an imitator. So if you've already noticed, he's already faked the resurrection. Now, the true prophets, remember, Moses did signs and wonders and exodus. You remember Elijah? What did Elijah do? He called down what from heaven? Fire from heaven. So now he said, oh, this brought worship to Yahweh, so this will bring worship to the Antichrist and Satan. So we'll do fire from heaven. He never has an original idea. It's all a counterfeit. Even the Trinity, if you think about it. The Trinity, if you look at it, it says the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The devil has a trinity as well. The devil, the Antichrist. It's the, like the Son, right? Like Jesus Christ. And the false prophet, which would be the Spirit. He even copies him in that. And I want you to go back to that statement. The true prophets did signs to point people to Christ. So the false prophet will do signs to point people to the Antichrist. Now the false prophet is the one who is now the imitation of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit's main job, did you know the Holy Spirit's main job is to glorify Jesus through you? I love the way my wife says it. She was teaching my daughter how to, she said, we always teach them lessons over dinner. She said, and I said, you know, you want to take your life and you want to ask the question, what glorifies God? And that'll solve every decision in your life. And my wife, you know, being a school teacher, ex-school teacher, she said, you need to break that down. A kid don't know what glorify God means. She said, Emmy, here's what that means. If it makes Jesus smile, do it. If it doesn't make Jesus smile, don't do it. I'm like, that's it. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus through your life. So the false prophet's going to come along and he's going to say, how can we glorify and bring glory to the Antichrist? Now, watch what he says here, verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. Now, how's he going to deceive? Come on, we're smarter than that. By signs, which he was granted to do from the Antichrist. Now, here's what he's going to do. He says, and make an image to the beast who was wounded with the sword and lived. But it looked like a resurrection. And so when we see this, he's going to do some miraculous signs that the whole world buys into. Now, you think, well, it's kind of hard, far-fetched. Not really. We're already buying into signs. Think about how many people are buying crystals. They're doing the witchcraft. They're doing palm reading. I remember the palm reading over here in Phoenix City. It was a yellow sign. You remember that back in the day? And it said, knows all, sees all. Honk the horn when you pull up. If you know all and see all, wouldn't you have heard me when I drove up the gravel driveway? Did I have to honk the horn? I'm just saying. Just last week, you say, people ain't even really into signs and fortune telling. Yeah, it was. Well, we're having our Uptown campus. There was booths last week, all in the middle of the street of crystals and fortune tellers and all kind of stuff. Can't wait to get there. We're going to save a lot of people there, aren't we? And people are, my assistant, who's wise beyond her years, is in that age group and a young adult. Here's what she told me this week. I said, hold on, what did you say? I said, let me write that down. She said, it's heartbreaking to see a lost world looking for truth, but looking for it in the wrong direction. Wow, that's true. That's someone who's a Christian, who's a Jesus follower, looking at the same age group, and she said, Pastor Brent, it's heartbreaking. They're looking for truth, and these crystals and these fortunes, they're looking for truth, but they're looking in the wrong direction. Everything you're looking for is found in Jesus. It's not found in these other things. There's a world already being prepped for these signs, so when this guy comes out with big signs, they're going to be all over it. Jesus said this, though, that miracles really shouldn't be the object of our faith. You do know that, right? You know, miracles shouldn't be the object of our faith. Jesus, the Word of God, should be the object of our faith. The best human being that ever lived on the world, you know what his name was? John the Baptist. Jesus said John the Baptist was the best man born of woman, and he performed no miracles. Now, if you live the Christian life, miracles will follow you. But you do not put miracles ahead and follow and look for miracles to validate your faith. Some people God will choose to heal. Some people he won't. We don't know why, but we trust that God is wiser than us and more sovereign. So we don't follow miracles or signs, we follow Jesus. Now verse 14 tells us something else, that the ultimate miracle looks to have happened. Go to that verse right there where he says, who was wounded with the sword and lived. As I mentioned earlier, the Antichrist does a false resurrection to bring worship to him. And then he does something so strange. Jump to verse 15. He says he was granted power to give breath to the image. So he makes an image of the Antichrist and says, hey, this is the Messiah. What the least we can do is make an image. Many people think this is going to be the image that's going to go into the temple, and we'll get to that later. But he says he gave breath to the image of the beast that the image should both speak. Hold on now. He made some sort of statue or some figure of the beast, the Antichrist, and then he makes it come alive. Creepy. You know what I mean? And I feel bad for scholars. I was reading this week old dusty books. I love studying the old theologians, old school. Ain't no school like old school. And I'm reading them, and they're trying to describe this. And they're saying, we believe that it's some statue that God, you know, the Satan gives him supernatural powers to come to life. And I'm over here going, wow, how close are we to the end times? I'm over here saying this is easy to describe, and they're struggling to describe this verse. I'm going, an image that looks like the beast that comes alive, AI, artificial intelligence. I was watching a football game the other night. They had three AI things there, and they're sitting next to a bunch of people. And y'all, I could not tell the difference. I couldn't tell. I thought they were actual human beings. There's one of them that's been around for a decade named Sophia. And Sophia can express emotions. She can think on her own. She knows human behavior. She was actually granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia. So Some people say, Pastor Brent's getting, he's out there. He's staying, we're living on the end times. I'm just saying, if I'm reading an old book this week and they're saying, we don't know how they're going to take a statue and make it come back to life. And I'm going, easy. I mean, we're AI. Now, what's interesting about this verse is as he gave it breath. Again, Satan copies everything that God does. I want to show you something. In the Greek, this is the word when he's, think about this. Sound familiar? Remember in the very beginning? You can go back to Genesis. Go ahead. Remember he formed man out of dust, and what did he do? He breathed in his nostril. And his nostril, he's breathed life into him, and he became a living being. So now the Antichrist is trying to show, I'm God, I'm going to create. And so the people are going to go, whoa, he gave life. God's the giver of life. This has to be the Christ. Now, if you'll go back to that verse, I want to show you something. Back to verse 15. He gave breath. In the Greek, you look at this, when God says that verse in Genesis that he breathed in Adam's nostril, it's the word pneuma in the Greek. It's where we get our word pneumonia, okay? He actually breathed and did that. This is a different one. This is a Greek word that means life. It's the word zoe. It means life. Now, you tell me something. See, the devil cannot give life, but could he give life to AI? He could, couldn't he? The devil can't breathe pneuma, breathe into something and create life. He's not the creator of life. But could he turn on and give life to artificial intelligence? Of course he could. Do you not see, I say all this to say, do you not see how close we are? I'm talking about if the rapture came before the invitation today, I wouldn't be surprised. This is why I'm with urgency, y'all, you have to share the gospel. You got to share it with people that don't know Jesus. You don't want them living through this. You don't want them going to hell without Jesus. We got to share it. And if you're here today, if you're watching online and you don't know Christ, I'm begging you, come to Christ before it's too late. This is not bogus. Everything that has ever been prophesied in this book has happened exactly like he says. Why would this be any different? You see how close we are? And so it says that he made this image, and that he made this image, and then he now makes it come to life. I can't help but think, remember when technology first started happening, we got navigation systems in our car. Those young people that you've always had a navigation system in your car. All those older people, you remember that? Remember, like, I mean, we went from, like, one day, this is rolling a window down. Anybody know what that means? I had to try to help somebody roll the window down, but the tower was going bad the other day. Now, I was doing this, and I realized quickly, they don't know what I'm talking about. Like, what is the international symbol? Is it this? And I was saying, and I was trying to tell them it's flat tire. And you know what they told me? They told me I'm number one. And I did it with that one right there. So I'm just trying to help you drive with a flat tire. Okay. But I remember I was in my friend's car, and that car spoke for the first time. It freaked me out. It said, low fuel. And I'm like, where? Y'all remember that when it first came out? I said, low fuel. And I knew it wasn't from the South, because it would have said from the South, you about to run out of gas. You know? And I always thought, we need to put a Southern name behind it. But we can see all this, how it's already set up with artificial intelligence to happen. Now, he's going to force worship to the Antichrist. You say, oh, how is he going to do that? So verse 15, we'll just look at the back half. It says that, and he calls as many as would not worship the image to be killed. That means he's going to kill you if you don't worship. I'm telling you here today, if you're watching, this is a different year, and your friends they're gone, and you're wondering what's happening, and they're trying to explain about alien abduction or this or that. He's going to force you to worship him or kill you. And I want to tell you today, and we'll get to this, let him kill you. Let your family starve. It's better to die and live than to try and live and die. So listen to my voice here. Friend, I want to tell you that God has given you a choice. The book of Revelation is written from a loving father, a loving father's heart, to warn us before it's too late. God always gives us a choice. Always. There's some bogus theology going on there right now. There's the elect and there's the unelect. God has chosen some people to go to hell, and God has chosen some people to go to heaven. There's nothing we can do about it. I don't think they know the same God that I know. Because God wouldn't create someone to send them to hell. God did everything he could to keep us from going to hell. God sent his son Jesus, right? To live and die for us. I mean, how do you explain that? And then the people that teach that, have you ever noticed that their family and them, they're always going to heaven? Here, another say, like, who's the one that chooses who's the elect, you know? They're always like, you got to be careful. You know, me and my family, we're going, what do you do with children's ministry? You walk in and go, man, great day at Cascade Hills today. Half your kids going to hell, half of them not. Good luck. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that I will not, none shall perish, is what the Bible says. Jesus wills that none shall perish. He wants all of us to go to heaven. But all, not just the elect, all shall come to repentance. Then he says, whosoever believes upon me. Now, once he said, whosoever believes upon me will have everlasting life, he's saying everybody. God gives everyone a choice. He even gave the devil a choice. Go all the way back to the beginning when he described the devil in heaven. He says, beautiful, wonderful, talented musician. But the devil said, I don't choose you, God. I want to be like God. I want to be worshipped. So love is a choice. Have you chosen who you'll follow? Have you chosen Jesus? If not, you're playing Russian roulette with your soul. All right, here's what happens in verse 16. He's going to control the world. He said, how is he going to control the world? Easy, by controlling money. Controlled wealth. You know you can control people by money. I'll prove it to you. When you're in debt, you got to get in that car and ride to work, don't you? It ain't fun, is it? You know how easy it is to go in debt? I was thinking about that the other day. It's easy, ain't it? Ooh, it's shiny. It's glit like a bass boat. You know that you give us a bass boat, something we can catch fish in, and you put glitter on it, we're going to buy it. You sprinkle that glitter on that boat, boy, I'm going to go take out my 401k. I don't know, something about glitter on that boat, I don't know. It's hard to get in debt, and then I'm forced to work, right? It's hard to get out of debt. He's going to control the wealth. I want to show it to you. Verse 16, he says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehand. Look at this. Ooh. And no one who doesn't have the mark, they won't be able to buy. It's the next verse. It says, no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast on the number of his name. So they won't be able to buy and sell. Now I want to go back to this verse in the beginning. It says rich and poor. Notice something. What's missing? Anybody know what's missing? Rich and poor, the middle class. They're going to do away with the middle class. But at this time, and there will be no middle class. There'll be rich and poor. They're already trying to do away with the middle class here in America. Have you not noticed that? The hardest ones to survive right now is the middle class. They're raising taxes. Groceries are high. I don't go to the grocery store. My wife goes to the grocery store, and I went to the grocery store the other night. I'm on this diet, and my trainer's got me cutting and eating calories. So he said, if you go get fruit, it'll make you more full and you can eat more of it. He lied. Give me a pizza. Give me some sushi. But now we're counting calories. So we're going to eat a bunch of fruit. I swear, I did everything I could to pretend that was sushi or ice cream. Like it didn't fool me. But I went in and I bought some fruit and some body armor and some other stuff. I bought six items. It was $60. I about had a fit. I ain't been in the grocery store since 1999. I walked in and I'm like, what happened to 25 cents for a Gatorade, you know? And I'm like, the Lord's coming. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I walked out. I told Carrie, I said, you got to be darn rich to buy groceries. She said, that's why I sent you in there. You don't realize how high things are. They're destroying the middle class. What made America interesting and different than every other nation is we're primarily blue collar. Do you know that? Hard working, blue collar, innovators. They're trying to destroy that. This right here predicts in advance they will. It says the rich and poor, the only way you'll be able to live is if you take the mark of the beast. And I want to tell you, if you're watching this from a different time period than 2024, don't take the mark. If you take the mark, you're signing your allegiance to the devil himself. And you will go to hell if you do that. I love you too much not to starve rather than take the mark. Listen to my voice. And how he's going to do this is he's going to force everyone to do it. And when he does this, it'll be a chip or a mark. Most people think it's already invented. I mean, think about it. We started chipping our pets years ago. Remember that? I had somebody, they always drop, I live in a wooded area. They drop the dogs off. Like I want everybody's stray dog. Can't afford it. Drop it off at Brent's house, you know? He's a pastor. He'll take care of it. No, I won't. So I took it to the vet. They had a chip. Beep. Yeah, that's so-and-so. I looked them up on Facebook. Yes, okay. Hey, your dog's at my house. The guy didn't sound happy that I found it. I said, it kind of sounds like you dropped it off. Come pick it up. He didn't want his dog. He dropped it off. You know what I mean? And I'm like, dang, man. What kind of person are you going to drop your dog off over here? Dogs got chips. How hard would it be for us to have a chip? I saw somebody the other day. I don't get on TikTok, but somebody sent it to me and said, Pastor Brent, this is crazy. Girl was at Whole Foods. She was buying food with some sort of implant in her hand, in her right hand, just like it says. Or it's already there. How close are we, y'all? We better get right with Jesus. We better tell people about Jesus. It's there. Hey, let's give them credit. This false prophet is going to sell it well. He's going to say, hey, all the illegals that are coming over, we now know that for a fact, this is not my opinion, for a fact that there are people on the terrorist list that are crossing our border in droves. They're going to say, hey, we're going to solve that. Made a mess up. We're going to solve that. And once everybody gets on this plan, we'll be able to identify where the terrorists are if they won't take this, and we'll put them in jail. Doesn't that sound great? Oh, I'd love that. Or they're going to say, hey, all this identity theft. I know poor woman that she got debt free and she's 90 years old and she just got everything taken from her. Everything. They did a reverse mortgage, all kinds of stuff, and she's got to pay it. And she is just, devastated. They're going to say, we're going to solve that. We're going to solve insurance, all this stuff. We'll just update it as it comes. And it's going to sound great. I mean, you think, great, that's, hey, done. But what he's going to do, what you don't understand, is he's going to control wealth by what you believe and what you say. He said, I had a great day at church today. Oh, interesting. You have $1,500 in your bank account, but now you can only use $5 to feed your family. See where I'm going? They're already doing this with freedom of speech, aren't they? Anybody notice freedom of speech is just going away? I posted something on Instagram the other day. I think I posted this quote. It was a quote that said, when government fears the people, there's liberty. When the people fear the government, there's tyranny. Quote. That was a quote. Put that, and I got all fact check. And then I said, okay, well, if they know the facts so well, I put this post. I just saw these elephants flying. Do you know that they didn't fact check me at all? It's interesting when you say the word government, how they will fact check you. You know, I used to be able to take a picture of this water bottle, and I'd quote Bobby Boucher, that has some high quality H2O. And you know, I'd get 500 likes on that. Last night I put something, I bet I got 15 likes. They're blocking you from seeing me because they say, oh, this guy speaks about God, speaks about government. If they're already doing that, they're going to do that with your wealth. You say, oh, you don't agree with our agenda? You can only have $5 to feed your family today. So it sounds great on the surface, but what they're going to do in those days is they're going to control wealth. And people will say, God, you know my heart, but I got to feed my family. And it's not going to work. Don't take that. Don't take the mark. You take the mark of the beast, you're doomed. There's nothing that can be done about it. Imagine a world where government has even more control than it already does. I don't know. In my mind, I thought that was where the amen was coming. Like, I've done this sermon 3 times. I was thinking, that's where the amen's at. You surprised me on that one. Am I the only one that thinks the government wants control? They do. If you don't know it, they do. We just went from live on Facebook to off right now, just so you know. Gone now. Somebody's going, I got to go get the YouTube. Hurry. I'll give you time. Oh, wait. Welcome back. Glad you joined us on YouTube. And so this is what's going to happen. He's going to control the world by wealth. But notice this last verse, okay? Last verse today. You guys were good. I mean, you know, you've held on. This is a lot of information. He said, here is wisdom. Last verse. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, the number is 666. You know what this verse, there's whole books written on this verse. I'm going to break it down to you just real easy. He said, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. What he's saying is there's someone watching here today, perhaps you. And perhaps it's 2027 or whatever, and you realize, wow, the rapture has occurred. But you've listened to this sermon, or there's someone that maybe a Christian gave you a Bible. Maybe you found a book on the end times written by another author, whatever. And it says, here is wisdom. Wisdom might be you. Wisdom might be the one that says, wait a minute, the number of six is imperfect. God created man on the sixth day and he fell into sin and he needed a redeemer. The perfect number is seven, the number for God, seven, 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 seven. This guy has triple the imperfections. It's the number of man. He can't be the Christ. He must be the Antichrist. And he's saying the person that figures that out, that's wisdom. That's what he's saying. Now, as we close up our time today, when Jesus returns, I want to tell you something. You won't have time to get ready. He says he's coming in a twinkle of an eye, like a thief in the night. If you said, well, I might come to God when I get ready and get over this addiction or when I get my life better, I might come to God. No. You don't come to God when you want to come to God. You come to God when he calls you. When he calls you, if you happen to be thinking, well, I just want to wake up, came to church today. Nope. You are here not by accident. You are here by divine appointment. God is trying to save your soul from busting hell wide open because he is crazy about you, because he loves you. You don't come to God when you're ready. You come when he draws, when he gives an opportunity like this. There won't be time to get ready, so you must be ready. And here's the big question we'll end on today. Are you ready? That's the question of all questions. When you breathe your last breath, or when he comes down and he brings his saints up, are you ready? Do you know Jesus, or do you know about Jesus? And only you can answer that question. But I want to tell you, if there's an uneasiness in your heart right now, if there's an uncertainty in your heart right now, God loves you so much he put you here to hear it and to receive it. My job here is done. Ball's in your court now. See, there's a holy God that loves you so much. He sent his son Jesus, all God, all man, live a sinless life. I can't do that for 5 minutes. Went to a cross, lived sinlessly on our behalf because we failed, and died on a cross for us. Y'all, that should have been us. You know that, right? For our sins in the sight of holy God, he can't overlook sin unless he not be God. He said the wages of sin is death. Now that word death means forever, separation from God in a real place called hell. But Jesus lived on behalf of us, died in our place and said, let me die in their place. Then he went to a grave and he didn't remain there. This is what differentiates him from every other God in the world. He rose from the grave just like he predicted. And he said, anybody that'll put their faith in me and ask me to be their Lord and Savior, I'll give them eternal life. Are you ready when that time comes? If this afternoon, Jesus Christ stepped out of his throne and came down from heaven, are you 100% sure you'd be with him? Because 99% sure is 100% lost. My cry to you is come to Christ today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I ask that every believer in the room would begin praying in unison with me that people would find you today. If you'd like to know Jesus and you'd like to have heaven as your home, I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you can do something. And this is not about the words of the prayer. This is about the condition of your heart and the placement of your faith in Jesus. You can just say this silently, whether you're watching at home or whether you're here in the room. Just say a prayer like this. Say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that Jesus is Lord. The best way I know how, come into my life and save me. I give you my life, Lord. I'll never be ashamed of you. I look forward to having a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You look right up out here. I mean, nobody's leaving at this time. This is the most holy part of the whole service. Many, many people perhaps have given their life to Jesus today. This is the most important day of your life, more important than your birthday, your wedding day. This is the only decision that matters in the light of eternity. And here's what we want to do. We want to celebrate this. So I'm going to ask the band to come up, and we're going to sing one last worship song. And I'm going to ask you, if you gave your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to be a real man, a real woman, that would stand for Christ and would walk down an aisle and come to a couple and say, I gave my life to Jesus. Think about what he did for you. Stripped naked on a cross, humiliated, spit on, mocked. His flesh was ripped up so much that he didn't even look like a mere man, and he did all that for you. I think we can get out of a seat at a church where a place will applaud you and we could say, Jesus is Lord and I ask him into my life. If we can't do that, are we really serious about what we've done? And so that's what Jesus calls us to do. He said, if you deny me in front of men, I'll deny you one day in front of my Father. So if you've given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to come forward the moment we start singing. If he's pulling you, I know what that pull feels like. It's almost like a pull that you don't... I remember when I got saved, I don't remember what the sermon was about. I don't remember who else got saved. All I know is it was such a pulling that the Holy Spirit was pulling me so hard that I would have been so disobedient if I didn't. But I knew the moment they started singing, I said, I got to walk or else I won't do it. You take the first step and I promise you the rest get easier. You come as we sing. Stand with me. You come as we sing. Come to Christ today. Come to Christ today. He loves you.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God.
I want to do what we always do. Perhaps there are many others that, man, you feel the Holy Spirit pulling you. You want to come, and perhaps you're just stuck. It's like you're stuck in the mud, and you're saying, I want to come, but I can't. God bless you. I want to extend this invitation because I believe if he's still drawing people, there are many more of you that want to come. I'm going to make this easier on you. I'm going to ask our members, would you turn to the people around you, in front, behind you, just say, hey, if you'd like to go, I'll go with you. Would you do that for me? If you'd like to go, I'll go with you. If you'd like to go, I'll go with you. If you'd like to go, I'll go with you.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
could watch that all day. That is amazing. I want to extend something to you. Last week we had a baptism service. I heard over 55 adults alone got baptized, which is amazing. And I want to extend that. A lot of people said, hey, I just wasn't ready, but I'll come back next week and get baptized. Or I want to come back and schedule my baptism. So if you have been saved and you've given your life to Christ, but you haven't been baptized, I want you to do something in a minute. And maybe you didn't come last week. I want to tell you what baptism is. It's the wedding ring of the Christian faith. If I take this ring off right now, am I still married? Some of you were confused on that. I'm still married. For this sexy thing to be back on the market would be dangerous. What does this ring do? It tells the world my commitment publicly to one woman for the rest of my life. That's what it does. Baptism, that's what it does. You do it after salvation, after you give your life to Christ. You say, I'm going to publicly stand for Jesus. People look over this, but this is a big, big deal. Remember, it's called the Great Commission. It's often called the Great Omission now, because we just look over baptism. But he said, go make disciples. What did he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be public about it. So if you didn't get baptized last week, but you need to, or maybe perhaps you put it off. We've had this at every service. I'm going to hold my hand up with you. And if you'd like to be baptized, just hold your hand up, and we're going to bring you one. Great. God bless y'all. Great. God bless y'all. God bless you. Great. Right here in the back. God bless you. In the balcony or in the back. You just hold it up real high, and God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Up in the balcony, if you've been saved but you haven't been baptized, you can just put it on the schedule, or you can do it today. We got everything you need. Just hold your hand right up. Right up and up. God bless you. All over this room. Now look, I'm making it easy for you. I mean, they're bringing it to you. I'm still holding my hand up. I think you can do it. It's not that hard, okay? Last call, if you have not been baptized. So now, are you telling me, I'm just going to back up for 1 second, that everybody in here has been baptized? If so, this is a group of saints. Now, don't lie. If you haven't been baptized, but God's pulled you to be baptized, just raise your hand right up, and we'll bring it right to you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. That is so, so great. Now, if you just lied, the good news is there's forgiveness in the cross. Forgiveness in Jesus. Just repent and say, God, I was terrified, and I'm going to ask you to do something. Walk right out of these doors, and there's a salvation and baptism tent. And say, I was a liar out there, but I want to get right. Would you baptize me? No, you don't have to tell me you're a liar. Just say, the bald man told me to come back here. I want to get baptized. You are awesome. I hope you know how much I love you. I know many of you are going through situations that are difficult. Would you mind if I prayed for you? I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Would you just put your hands like this? I want you to receive this blessing. Father, thank you so much for this group of people. God, it's the joy of my life to teach them each week the Word of God. God, we love you. God, we are a group that will stand when others may sit. We will be loud when others may be silent. God, I just pray that you would look down upon these people. Lord, whether it's their health, whether it's their energy, whether it's their business, whether it's their children that's went off course, God, bless them in the area they need it. We receive this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.